No spin, just the facts, the questions, the answers. Chris Lynch on News Talk ZB.
It is News Talk ZB with Chris. We'll get back to your talk back in just a moment. I'm now joined by Dr. Raymond Pink, the Canterbury Medical Officer. Canterbury Medical Officer of Health or just an Officer of Health?
Canterbury Medical Officer.
Making sure I got the right. Yeah. Nice to have you back in the studio.
Thank you, Chris.
We are discussing the flu. I mean, it's that cold season again. I'm sorry, I've got the temperature on about -5 in here, so it probably
feels... notice that.
Yeah, I have hot flushes. Can we discuss that after the show, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. You are here to talk about influenza. It seems more people are getting the flu vaccine these days, and that's the perception I have. Do you think that's because we're just becoming more aware that the vaccine actually works?
Look, the flu vaccine is probably the best protection that we have, Chris. And so I think that it's great that the population, the community, are increasing the uptake of the vaccine. Influenza can have profound effects on your health, and it is potentially fatal. We know seasonally that it can affect us being off work, affecting our sports participation, not being present at, you know, really important occasions, family weddings and the like. So I think it's really good that the uptake is improving, and I'd encourage it to keep on going.
Doctor, is one reason that we get sick in winter is also simply because we're not seeing as much sunlight? Because sunlight is actually very important for us, isn't it? In terms of our mental health, in terms of everything, really.
I love the sun, and I agree with you. Sunlight is really important. And so, yes, obviously part of sun is the warmth. And so when we have a colder climate during the winter months, that's when these bugs proliferate and cause us to be unwell. And we become more vulnerable. We're more vulnerable to them, particularly if we know that the flu vaccine is subsidised for those over the age of 65 and those also who are have chronic illnesses, heart conditions, respiratory conditions, and going to the GP will clarify whether that's subsidised. But particularly for pregnant women are found to be particularly vulnerable to influenza, and so it's important that they also get the vaccine as well as those others that I've mentioned to you.
Doctor, talk me through the process of the actual vaccine. What does it do, and how does it actually prevent influenza?
Right. So every year, a new vaccine is produced, and that's because viruses are always changing, like the human gene pool. So the virus gene pool is changing. And because of that, the Northern Hemisphere winter looks down to the Southern Hemisphere and see what affected the Southern Hemisphere and vice versa. And so the vaccine is produced by those three or four viruses that are most dominant in an influenza season. They're all ground up and little bits of them are put into the vaccine. And so the vaccine is not a live vaccine, so you can't get the flu from the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But what it does is those little bits that are actually in the vaccine go into our bodies when we get it when it's injected into our arm, and our immune responses identify exactly what those particles are, so that it then sets up, if you want, like a neighbourhood watch, that if it ever appears in your neighbourhood, bam, got it. So that's fundamentally how vaccine works.
A bit of a myth-busting session, if you like. One of the ways frustrates me is people say, oh, I don't like to get the flu vaccine, it gives me the flu. Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It doesn't give you the flu. It sometimes when we get the vaccine, for some people, you can get a fever, a transient fever, you can get a headache and you can feel fatigue. Those symptoms last really for just 24 hours. You can also, as you're aware, there are also other respiratory bugs in the community. Mm. And so you can become infected with those at the same time you get your vaccine. And so people may think, oh, that's the vaccine gave me the flu. But actually you can't, because there's nothing in the vaccine that would give you the flu.
Another myth-busting question. When people say, oh, I've got the flu, and they've got a common cold. Mm-hmm. Now, that's completely different, because when you have influenza, I think I've had it once in my life, and I noticed it because it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I couldn't even walk. I felt so fatigued. Mm-hmm. That is the real influenza, right? Not just the common cold where you feel a bit headachy and sniffly because of allergies because of winter coughs and colds. It's different, right?
Correct. It is different. And the distinction, you've made a very, very good distinction. Head colds, there are lots of bugs that cause what we call upper respiratory things. In other words, kind of from your neck up, you know, you've got a runny nose, you've got a headache. And so that head cold is quite different to the influenza, which gives you, you feel it through your whole body. Mm. The symptoms that you've mentioned, Chris, and also people tend to be bedridden, muscle aches can be part of it, and rigors can be part of it as well. You know, people typically say feel like they've been run over by a bus.
And for me, when I had it, it was very instant, though. I mm-hmm. recall I was in Auckland having a dinner with a friend, and it felt like it had just hit me straight away. It wasn't a gradual thing. I'm starting to feel unwell. It was almost immediate.
Mm, okay.
But I suppose that's different for everybody, is it?
I think each individual response, yes, can be different. But you know it when you've got it. The interesting thing, too, about influenza, though, Chris, is that there are some people who actually can get influenza and have absolutely no symptoms at all. And that's only recent research in New Zealand that's shown that.
Wow.
But the important thing about that is that those people who are infected can infect the rest of the community and they don't know. And so that's why it's really important that the more people who have the vaccine, for those people who are asymptomatic, got no symptoms, they can spread it. But if you're vaccinated, you're protected against it.
There are some people in the community who are able to get this vaccine for free.
Correct.
Who are they?
Those aged 65 years and older is one group. Two, those who have chronic illnesses, respiratory illnesses, cardiac, and your GP can tell you exactly what those categories are.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly is pregnant women. They're the three groups who have the vaccine for free.
What if you do get the flu this winter? What should you do?
I think it's like any respiratory illness is, one, stay home, because by staying home, you're not going to pass it on to your friends.
Mm.
Two, you're likely to rest, and so rest is really important. Hydrate yourself. If you get your temperatures, you can take paracetamol, for instance.
And that does reduce your temperature?
It does reduce your temperature, but staying at home and isolating yourself, particularly if you're the only one in the family that's got it, I know you can be a bit of a lonely soul. However, you don't want it to spread, but isolating yourself is probably the critical thing, Chris.
What would you say to those who say, oh, I just don't want to get the flu injection, I don't believe it's safe? I mean, we always hear those comments, and they come through thick and fast when I have these types of conversations.
Yes. The flu vaccine is a for the literally millions of vaccines that are delivered every year, has a very, very high safety profile. Yes, there are those people who will have a reaction to it, but the numbers are really, really small compared to those who benefit by it from in our community. So I would encourage people, as I said earlier in our conversation, the influenza vaccine is probably the best protection that we have available to us.
Just something else, and this is a slightly self-absorbed question, really. If you do get a cold over winter, or you feel a bit headachy or sniffly, there is that kind of myth where people say, I'll go for a run on the treadmill and sweat it out.
Yeah.
Would you say yes or no to that?
I'm
asking for myself.
Okay, so for me...
Some people is me.
Yeah, okay, some people is
you.
What
do you reckon?
I'm actually a subscriber to that, but there's no science behind it. So I'm kind of a bit embarrassed to say it, you know, when I'm supposed to be giving you sort of evidence-based things. I'm a strong believer in exercise, and I just don't like sitting around and succumbing to it. However, obviously going to a gym, you could spread it to people.
Yeah. Or go for a walk, maybe.
Go for a walk.
Okay.
I've got my dog. I take him for a walk. I like to get out there. There's no science behind that, but...
I'm not one to sit.
No, I'm with you on that.
When people say, go to sleep and go to bed, it bores me.
Yeah.
I'd rather do something, you know.
It does bring us on to a really important thing, though, that keeping ourselves well during winter is really important. So keeping up your physical exercise, despite the dark nights and the cold weather, I think it's really vital. You know, early to bed, early to rise. I know it sounds really trite, but getting adequate rest is really important. We live busy lives. And, you know, watching your nutrition, your alcohol intake, all of those things which you get bombarded with all the time, they are repeated because they are important in maintaining your health.
Yes, and it is easier to perhaps eat a lot or drink a lot because you're inside, you're not doing as much exercise.
Absolutely.
You're warm and cozy.
Yep.
Anyway, Dr. Raymond Pink, Canterbury Medical Officer of Health, nice to see you again.
Thanks
for your time
much,
this
Chris.
Morning.